This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Commercial free, listener sponsored, Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
Stay tuned for Go Vegan Texas. On May 22nd, Oprah Winfrey announced that she would be embarking on a 21-day meatless cleanse, inspired partly after rereading A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. The next day, Ellen DeGeneres declared a similar journey into the vegan lifestyle. Today, more than halfway into their experiment, we can only wonder if they will return to the habit of eating animals, or if there is another book that may cause them both to embrace a cruelty-free lifestyle for good. Please join us today as we welcome back Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, at this pivotal time when the national spotlight is focused on veganism. Coming up next on Go Vegan Texas. Pacifica Radio, KPFT, 90.1 in Houston and 89.5 in Galveston. You can also find us on the web, live and archived at goveganTexas.org. And if you go to the site, you can also view all the details for today's show, contact us by writing info@goveganTexas.org, as well as seeing a link to community events provided by the Society of Peace. My name is Geraldine, and I will be joined shortly in the studio by Director of the Houston Animal Rights Team, Alma Williams. The music that we just listened to was an album called Animal Songs from Karuna Music, new compositions for solo piano blended with animal voices and nature sounds. Besides pieces with the amazing voices of wild animals like dolphins, wolves, hawks, forest creatures, there are for the first time many pieces that showcase the remarkable voices of our old friends, the domestic animals. The last time I played this on the air, I had many compliments about it, but what is most remarkable is that the music is performed by our guest today, Dr. Will Tuttle. In addition to having a PhD in philosophy of education, being trained as a Dharma master in the Zen tradition, a teacher of meditation, Tai Chi, and many other disciplines, he's also an accomplished pianist, composer, and recording artist. His music is incredible, and all of his album jackets are decorated by the original artwork, watercolor art of his wife, Madeline, animal and peace-oriented themes. To see examples of her artwork and Dr. Tuttle's music, please do visit the website willtuttle.com, which also gives you a tour schedule of Dr. Tuttle's lecture series for the World Peace Diet. Shortly, we will be joined by Dr. Tuttle live. But in the meantime, I want to thank everyone who called in last week and showed us such tremendous support last week on our pledge drive and made it such a wonderful success. We had a really big party for Memorial Day, and we just want to thank everyone, especially those of you who walked in your pledge and joined us for the delicious food. All right, while I'm waiting for my co-host, let me briefly introduce Dr. Tuttle. Before we bring him on the line, this is from the jacket of the World Peace Diet. Dr. Tuttle has a master's degree in humanities from San Francisco State University and a PhD in philosophy of education from University of California, Berkeley. A professional pianist, composer, and teacher, he has for the last 15 years presented at progressive churches, vegetarian and human potential conferences, and international communities throughout the country. He trained in Korea as a Zen Buddhist monk and has worked extensively in Tai Chi, yoga, meditation, intuition development, and spiritual teaching. He and his wife live in California. Dr. Tuttle, are you with us?
I sure am.
Oh, good morning. It's wonderful to hear your voice again.
Thank you. It's great to be with you this morning.
Well, this is an exciting time for vegans in the country. As you know, we've had some news about, I guess, 11 or 12 days ago now of the hugely popular television talk show hosts Oprah Winfrey and Ellen DeGeneres both at the same time deciding to go vegan, and all of their audience members getting very excited, following them on their blogs and joining them in the daily menu. So for the first time in a while, the national spotlight has very positively and productively been focused on veganism. And I understand that you are on a book tour right now, lecture tour, with a World Peace Diet, is that correct?
Yes, I sure am. I just gave a lecture in New York City at the Jiva Mukti Yoga Studio, which is a really terrific place, right in Manhattan. The place was totally packed, and people are really enthusiastic about embracing the message of compassion for all life as an inherent part of our spiritual path, and also of our lives as responsible citizens in a world where the forests and the waters and the other animals on the earth are being really threatened by our overconsumption. So I think that we're really seeing some major changes in the basic attitudes of people towards other life forms, and the basic sense that they're not ours to just abuse and use, but that they are sentient beings in their own right and are worthy of our respect. So, yeah, I've been doing quite a few lectures, and it's been going very well.
Well, what is it that, as you move around the country speaking, I know for a lot of people it's a revelation, obviously, to connect food with violence, with the war out there, with our cultural legacy of violence and warfare, and all of these traditions that we have. But your book very eloquently speaks to that. Could you fill people in who perhaps are not familiar with your book?
Sure. What the book is about, and really what my lecture is also about, I try to just touch on some of the main ideas in the book. Is to make the connections that are just typically never made. It's almost like it's a taboo to even think along these lines in our culture, because I think at a very deep level, people are aware that once we start to make these deep connections between our food and what it requires to get it onto our plate, the inherent abuse and mistreatment and violence towards other sentient beings, that once we begin to make those connections, we will have to make major changes in our lives, because, as human beings, we find this profoundly disturbing that we're harming so many beings for food. And these changes, the irony of it really is, would be immensely positive for us. What I point out in the book is not only for the environment and for the earth and for the animals who are abused and for the human beings who are starving because we're feeding so much grain to animals while people starve, and to all the human beings that have to work in the slaughterhouses and whose lives are really damaged, and whose emotions and feelings are damaged, and whose children and spouses are abused because they're forced to commit such violence routinely. But really, for the people who are eating the animals, that it's enormously damaging to them as well, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, as well as, of course, the health effects of eating so many toxins. The toxins really do concentrate in the flesh and secretions of animals, especially animals who are raised in the abysmal conditions that virtually all the animals are raised in today in this country. But the underlying idea is that really there's universal spiritual principles and universal, I think, principles in general that we all know in our hearts. One of the main ones is universally accepted is what we call in the Christian tradition the golden rule. It's basically the idea that whatever I would most want for myself, to give that to others. Whatever I would not want for myself, don't do that to others. The idea that what goes around comes around. The idea that whatever we most forcefully ignore ends up controlling us the most, and we end up projecting that as a shadow that controls us, and that the violence that we inflict on others, if we suppress it, it comes out in all kinds of ways. It comes out as disease, it comes out as disconnectedness, it comes out as war, as domination and exploitation and oppression of other living beings. And the main thing, I think, to really understand, though, in the whole thing, is not that people have to feel guilty about what they're doing when they're eating hamburgers and hot dogs and cheese and eggs and all these disastrous foods, really, for the planet and for the animals and for themselves, but to realize that they are not eating them from their own choice. You know, no one ever chose this sort of logically on their own. All of us have been forced into it by a culture that has this as its very living core, the mentality that animals are, certain animals especially, are simply commodities to be bought and sold and used and confined and stabbed and killed and eaten. And this is, makes all of us extremely uncomfortable as little kids, but I think at a certain point we just don't realize it and we go along with it. We're forced to participate in it. We're forced to actually be the agents of the violence, because without us choosing to eat these animal foods, none of this would happen. So we are actually, we become the cause, the causal force for the brutalization and killing of literally billions of animals every year just in the United States alone. And so we're profoundly uncomfortable with that, but we're forced into it. So instead of feeling guilty about this, I think the thing is to just realize we've been forced into it and realize that it's detrimental not only to our own health, but severely detrimental to everything that we hold dear. The whole idea of being able to bequeath to our children an earth that is not polluted, where there still are species left other than human beings and their cows and pigs and sheep, where there's really a celebration of life on this planet. Everything about our inherent wisdom is repulsed by what we're doing to animals for food and what it's doing to every dimension of our lives. And so to see that what we've been born into is an obsolete mentality and an obsolete way of living, and to just let go of it, just to say, okay, that's, it's like slavery of other humans. It's like the, some of these obsolete things that we realize are totally counterproductive for everyone, and to make the changes. And I think once people understand this, it's much easier. Once people understand the deep connections that we can see between the violence that we inflict on animals for food and the violence that we experience and we inflict on each other, and the disease and devastation that we're committing to the planet and to children and to future generations, we can then say, okay, great, I get it, I understand, and I'm not going to contribute to that anymore, because the main contribution is when I take out my wallet and pay someone to give me the flesh or the dairy products or eggs that come from animals, however they're raised. It's always violence involved.
And as you... as you mentioned on your spoken CD and in your book, we're introduced to it before we even know what's going on, even in our baby food. The ground up flesh and fluids of animals is there. So when we begin to question it, it's something we've taken for granted for so long. It boggles the mind to jump back that far, and really it's a jump back in history as well. I want you to speak about that in a moment, the origin of how we got here and the cattle culture, the herding culture. But at this time, I'm joined in the studio by Alma Williams. I want to welcome her to the program. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks, Geraldine. Good morning, Dr. Tuttle.
Good morning.
And I just want to say that when I first became acquainted with Alma, actually, she was running a series of book lectures or book study groups. And the first one that I attended when I really became well acquainted with her was the World Peace Diet. And I just want to remind all of our listeners, we have on the phone Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. And Alma, I wonder if you would read one of the quotes of Dr. Tuttle that we have on our show promo today at GoVeganTexas.org.
Sure, be glad to. Eating animal foods is fundamental because of our dilemmas, but we will squirm every which way to avoid confronting this. It is our defining blind spot and is the essential missing piece to the puzzle of human peace and freedom. That is so impactful.
I agree. Dr. Tuttle, can you explain just briefly, I mean, your book is a fascinating read, but if you can touch on it briefly for people who haven't gotten a chance to read it yet, on the a little bit of the idea of the herding culture and how we got here.
Sure, I can do that. That's a it's a tall order in a sense. There's a lot to explain, so I'll just try to be extremely brief. I have a whole chapter actually in the book, chapter 2 primarily, but there are some other chapters as well. That chapter is called Our Culture's Roots, and I think it's really empowering to understand the history of our culture in terms of the food that we're eating. And what I say in the book is that the last revolution that our culture experienced was the revolution that occurred between 8 and 10,000 years ago, when for the very first time people began in ironically what is now Iraq to herd animals, in other words, to own them, to have the sense that they are property that we own. So this essential action was an action of reductionism, of reducing beings, other living beings, from being essentially mysterious cohabitants of a shared world that we respected to being mere property. And so they became despised after a while, cows and pigs and turkeys and sheep and goats really became just despised as objects to be used. And with this act of reducing them, the whole natural world was also reduced, because the other wild animals began to be seen as mere varmints or potential predators for the capital that was owned. Capita being an old word in the Latin tradition that means head. So the whole capitalist system emerged actually 8 to 10,000 years ago with a wealthy elite that emerged, that owned most of the sheep and goats and cattle, and it was discovered by them actually that they could get wealthy through warfare, a war being where they would attack someone, another one of the wealthy elite that owned cattle, and try to steal their, you know, defeat them in a battle and then steal their livestock. And so they would, for the very first time on the earth, there emerged these large-scale wars between the kings, and it was really for wealth, for property, for livestock, for land for the livestock. And it's so ironic, today we have basically the same system. Women were reduced to the status of chattel property, bought and sold, because they also lost their sense of sacredness around giving birth, because men, the very first science really was men manipulating the reproductive cycles of sheep and goats and cows to get more babies so they'd have more wealth. And so women also were reduced. The first slavery actually started. The very first word for war, gavya in Sanskrit on the planet, means the desire for more cattle. And this pattern was set up of eating animals for food, eating animals that are owned. So instead of gathering and growing foods and maybe occasionally hunting something, people started just stabbing animals that were owned, and this whole thing, I think, really set in motion the kind of system that we have still today. At the end of the day, we still eat the fluids and the flesh of brutalized animals that are kept the same way, and in the same way we have a wealthy elite that gets rich off of the wars that we send people to, again, for expanding the capital base of that they have accumulated. And we wonder why we're so unable to make much progress in what's really near to our hearts, in sustainability, in justice, in equality, in kindness and compassion and wisdom and all these things. And yet we're eating the foods of this same system that does nothing but create war and violence, the domination of the feminine, the domination of nature, the domination of animals, the exploitation and oppression of other living beings is the very heart and soul of the culture. Because we eat that every day, it becomes part of our physiology and becomes really part of our psychology. And it's a whole mentality of privilege and elitism, of competition and predation and violence towards other living beings, of might makes right. And so if we really want to unfold and evolve spiritually, actually, as Oprah Winfrey said on her blog just about a week ago, she said, how can you say you want to spiritually evolve without giving a thought to the animals who are sacrificed in the name of gluttony? You know, and this idea that we're just, you know, brutalizing these animals just for greed and gluttony and for living out programming that's been forced on us by a culture going back 10,000 years, you know, it's a really important point. And the thing is, it's not 10,000 years is not that long ago in terms of human beings. So the idea that we're basically evil and violent and warlike and all that, I think, is incorrect. We're basically loving and kind. We're just raised in a culture that's forced us to be this way.
Well, and exactly, Dr. Tuttle, and I'm glad that you bring up Oprah Winfrey, because she is a controversial figure among vegetarians. I've talked to a lot of people that want to be angry with her that she didn't stick with her commitments after she won. She won the slander or libel case that was put against her by the cattle association. She won that, and yet she departed from that path of being turned off from meat, but now she's come back around to it, and I feel that we have to be forgiving beings to dig in our heels and have resentment, have gossip, have hurtful feelings about other people. When we look at Oprah and Ellen, they are good, kind people. They routinely on their shows have things about animals, like so many people, like you say, believe themselves to be good and are in many ways kind people, and yet eating meat, eating cheese, eating animal, these products of the slaughterhouse, it's so much a part of our culture that it we have to disassemble it on a very incremental level. So I really ask everybody listening and everybody who's read your book to call it to the attention of Oprah and Ellen while they are on this vegan experiment. We've got links to their websites on our promo at goveganTexas.org, but you can find them. I mean, Oprah and Ellen are such famous people, and that's part of the reason that, you know, 10 or 11 more days could go by, and they could go, well, I'm so much healthier, I feel better now. Now I'm going to resume what I did before. But if they might have a chance to see your book and to really understand this at a deeper level, because people who do follow Oprah do know that, and I know Alma, you've told me a lot about a lot of the Oprah shows that I've missed, but that she is on a spiritual quest and she does want to help people.
She definitely is. And I mean, the Puppy Mill show was so impactful, and I've seen her make several statements since then, and it's really exciting for our movement, and hopefully she'll go beyond 21 days.
I agree, and I know, Dr. Tuttle, as well, that you have on your website, there's a gentleman has put together a study packet for facilitators to really understand and learn and meditate on the World Peace Diet. Did you want to speak to us a bit about that?
Yeah, I actually would like to just mention a couple of things here. Thanks. One is I would encourage people to write to Oprah and to Ellen DeGeneres to encourage them to have me on the show there. There's quite a few. I don't know how many, but I'm sure hundreds of people have sent in emails, and I think that could help bring it to the attention of one of the producers of the show. As I understand it, it's really the producers of the show that will pitch it to Oprah. But I think, like you say, if Oprah and Ellen and other whoever can begin to talk about the deeper dimensions of this, the health aspect is certainly you know, helpful and interesting, but I think if people understand the deeper dimension, then it really starts taking an effect, a very powerful positive effect, because that's when our compassion and kindness, which are so fundamental to our lives, begins to take hold. And as far as the class, yeah, people actually have started giving courses on the World Peace Diet locally, through a church perhaps, or through a peace group, or through a book club. And so we've put together on my main website for the book is worldpeacediet.org. worldpeacediet.com also will take you there. willtuttle.com will take you there too. But if you go there, you can see there's a free set of study questions and so forth, an outline if anyone wants to give a class on the World Peace Diet, which I think is one of the most healthy and beneficial things anyone can do, is to spread the word by studying the book together. And we also have available from a fellow named Mark Stroud, who is a vegan restaurant owner and a longtime vegan chef, award-winning chef. He's put together a whole, very excellent study guide that you can get from him. He charges for that, but it's really, it's got the whole, he's given the course now three times in Cincinnati, and he's really created a great study course. So if you want to have, you know, a lot of one-on-one coaching and just be able to really have a course outline that you can use, say, in a local church or community group for studying the World Peace Diet and spreading the message, then, again, you can go to our website and find out about that. And the other thing is that we're putting on a retreat in Michigan in July, just a weekend retreat, July 18th to 20th. It's sort of a little north of Detroit in the country, on a beautiful lake and with swimming and so forth. And it's a retreat to go more deeply into the World Peace Diet. And if anyone who wants to attend that retreat, it'll be a certification to teach the World Peace Diet in your community. So we're encouraging people to come. I will be there, and Mark will be there, and we'll have some just wonderful people who want to deepen our understanding of how we can create a beneficial revolution in our culture for peace and for kindness, starting with our food and then going out from there into our whole culture and into our individual lives.
Oh, Dr. Tuttle, the pictures on your website are fantastic. This is actually a sanctuary. Tibet Sanctuary is where you're holding the conference.
Right.
And, I mean, you're too modest that you have, for the food, you're having Deer and Justice Fields from the Gentle World, who had restaurants in California, vegan restaurants in Hawaii and California. It's wonderful food. I have been to their restaurants, and I have met them personally, and just the serenity of this, the being able to go there to feast on delicious vegan food, to have you present, to have this whole experience. This is what we need to bring more peace to the world. I mean, even in the social justice movement and the animal rights movement and the vegetarian movement, what holds us back is too much infighting. That how can we help the animals when we're arguing with each other, and how can we move forward if we get fixed on resentment instead of putting our energy into the positive? How can that's really what, because we're letting the animals down when we argue with each other and get stumped on unforgiveness and these sorts of issues.
Right.
And also I wanted you to speak about, there's it's the time for summer conferences, and I believe you're going to be at the Summerfest as well as the AR conference. Is that correct?
Right, yep, the Summerfest is coming up. I encourage people, if you have a chance to get to either of these events, the Vegetarian Summerfest is going to be a little bit early this year. It's in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, which is about an hour east of Pittsburgh, kind of in western Pennsylvania. And it's going to be basically from June 19th, which
it's
is only a couple of weeks away. Yeah, June
19th. It's less than 2 weeks away, yeah.
Right. But it's a wonderful gathering. It's all vegan, of course, food, mostly organic, and probably, you know, 700 or 800 or 900 people, I think, usually attend that. Some great speakers, and it's a good chance to just learn a lot more about the benefits of a plant-based diet, and to network with other people, and to build our movement and make it stronger. And so, yeah, I'll be speaking at that. I'll be giving a piano concert there also, and Madeline, my spouse, will be there. We'll be doing a workshop on veganism and relationships, and I'll be doing a talk on my book. So that should be a great event. And then in August, then in July is the retreat on the 18th to the 20th, and then in August there's the Animal Rights Conference, which will be the 14th to the 17th of August, and that's a power, and it'll be in Washington, D.C. this year. And that's a very, you know, it's a great conference to go to if you want to really look behind the scenes of the whole movement and contribute to the movement in that way. It's the gathering of many of the people who are most dedicated to the liberation of animals and to, like you say, to work more together with each other and not bicker with each other. I think the most important thing is to just find ways to help people go vegan, and that's what I keep focusing on, and I think I'm so glad that's what you're focusing on as well, because I think that's really the heart and soul of the whole, not only the animal liberation movement, but the human liberation movement as well.
Well, and Dr. Tuttle, for those of us who've listened to your CD, Living in Peace in Harmony with All Life, I loved how your revelation of your own experience, how when you set out as a young man, when you first encountered a vegan community and were surrounded by this with, of course, the farm in Tennessee, how that is such a powerful experience. So I encourage anyone who can go to either of these conferences in Washington or in
Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And there's still time to register for the 2008 Vegetarian Summerfest. Just go to www.vegetariansummerfest.org.
And what about for the Animal Rights Conference, Alma? Do you have the...
you can go to www.arconference.org.
We do have actually both of these links on our promo for today at govegantexas.org. And even if you want to follow in the steps of Will Tuttle, the farm is still around and they're bigger and better than ever. They are having summer events. It's a totally vegan community. They've been around since the 70s now, and they have classes all year long, especially all summer in permaculture and solar installation, medicinal plants, midwifery, just on and on. Take yourself out of the city, away from the meat eaters, and if you're a meat eater, surround yourself by vegetarians and have that community and that experience, and give yourself a chance to read the World Peace Diet in an environment that is conducive to hearing the message. Let me see also, Dr. Tuttle, and I want to thank you for letting us borrow the name of your of your retreat in Michigan. It's a beautiful title. Creating a New Culture of Peace is actually the name of your retreat, so thank you for letting us borrow that today.
Yeah, great. Yes, please, I just encourage people to go to our website where you can see the schedule. There's another wonderful conference in Boston, Massachusetts at the end of July, if anyone wants to go to that, but it's on natural healing. I'll be speaking for that one as well, put on by the macrobiotic people. It's a totally vegan conference, and this whole movement, I think it's picking up steam, and it's building, and it's growing. And I think it's unstoppable. There's so many factors. I think one of the most important factors, too, is just simply, it's very tragic, but as more and more people now, there's a food crisis in the world, and I think people are going to start to realize that, you know, like last year, 2007, we actually fed 175 million tons of grain to animals while people are starving in this world. And that's 14 times the amount of the grain surplus. So we're growing plenty of food to feed everyone 14 times over. And this is the official statistics from the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization that just came out for 2007. So we are realizing it's just totally unethical for us to be eating dairy products and eggs and cheese and the flesh of animals, and fish also are fed a lot of grain, factory farm fish, which are fed to other fish. So we really, I think, at a deep level, are going to learn as human beings on this planet within the next year or two that the only way for us to live together on this earth is to be eating a plant-based diet together.
Dr. Tuttle, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We want to urge everyone to look at your website, willtuttle.com, and did you say the worldpeacediet.com as well?
.org.
Yeah.
And also, did you have a phone number? Because a lot of people aren't on online anymore. Is there a number people could call? Or
a phone number?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
At 1-800-697-6614.
And again, we would encourage everyone listening, while Ellen and Oprah are contemplating vegetarian veganism right now and are on their spiritual journey, and with the millions and millions of viewers and influence that they have, if we can bring this book to their attention, The World Peace Diet by Dr. Will Tuttle, who knows what might happen next. Thank you again, Dr. Tuttle.
Thank you very much.